tell you what the problem is. This third lady's right here in the way. I'm good.
There you go.
Good morning. We'll call the Sussex County Council meeting to order for May 3rd, 2016. First thing is to approve the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. At this time, we have no amendments to today's agenda.
Okay, motion to approve the agenda as presented.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? Take the vote. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Aye, yes. Motion carried. We have the minutes of April 19th. Any corrections, concerns, questions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved as read. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have two letters. The first is from Trinity Foundation thanking the council for their support. And then we have a letter from Ms. Patricia Fadley, and I apologize if I mispronounced that. And it was on the issue of the proposed Herring Creek Sanitary Sewer District, and it was on the issues that you've heard from by many others speaking, and I'm going to make sure the county engineer has a copy of that letter.
Thank you, sir. And correspondence from council. Correspondence from council. Public comment, Mr. Guy. Thank you, sir. Joseph Marino.
Good morning, council members, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Joseph Marino. I live at 16778 Gravel Hill Road, on the corner of Milton, on the corner of Neptune and Gravel Hill. And a year ago, I had a dog breeder purchase property next to my property and built a one-bedroom kennel, attached kennel, indoor-outdoor kennel, and a washing station for dogs. For the past year, my neighbors and I have been dealing with barking dogs. Early on, we called her. This was her registered voting address. However, when she answered the phone, she told us she lived in Lewis with her mother and that she'd be there in 20 minutes to bring the dogs in, which she did early on. Eventually, the phone got turned off. We had no way of contacting her. We researched some with the state police about laws. We were told there were no laws in Sussex County about barking dogs. The state police wouldn't help us. As time went on, it got worse. We went ahead 2 weeks ago. My wife had such a bad time, she couldn't sleep in our bed anymore. She was sleeping in the front rooms. She had to leave and go up out of state for a couple of days, and her blood pressure was through the roof. So two weeks ago, we started making phone calls, and I started researching this. And under Title VII, there are state laws 4.2.2, okay, about barking dogs, as I'm sure some of you may be aware of. Filed a complaint with DenRec. I also contacted animal welfare. They came out. The dogs were being fed and watered automatically. However, nobody was living there. Up until 2 weeks ago, what happened is somebody started to show up at night as a resident, and when I had your zoning board, Jeff Whaley, come out and did an investigation, they told him they lived there. Our problem is this. At 3 o'clock in the morning, DenRac does not have anybody on duty that we could call to come out and write up a report that we could then take later on and go to DenRec and say, hey, this is what happened last night. So my neighbors are here, my wife's here. We're asking you, is there any way that you can contact with our state police to have them come out and address this situation and just make a cursory inspection or write a cursory report that they do not have to follow up on that we can hand over to DenRec, who is the agency that the law falls under. Otherwise, we have no recourse. We have no recourse other than to try and go to press to bring. We have a state law that nobody either can enforce or wants to enforce. in this county. And that's the problem we've been dealing with. And now the woman has applied for a commercial kennel license, which allows her more than four dogs. And we don't see the problem going away. And my wife's health is being affected by this. And I'm not too happy about it. Nobody is. So what can we do?
We will have somebody in the county contact you. If you'll give your information to Mr. Guy right there in the front row.
Okay.
Somebody will figure out who should be contacting who, and somebody will contact you, and then we'll go from there.
Thank you, Mr. Vincent. Sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. Eileen Marino.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name, of course, is Eileen Marino, and my husband has pretty much explained the situation that we're living in. I'm living here 7 years. I love my house. I love my neighbors, and I love my property. But, excuse me, the stress level has been beyond. My pressure is through the roof. I'm sleeping on the couch, and I have to go north to get away from it because this woman just doesn't care about her neighbors and about people who live there. And I'm asking you, please, can you help us? Can you do something?
Thank you. Thank you. Paul Rieger. Paul Rieger.
If I may, just because I may need an extra 30 seconds today because of that last issue, which I dealt with for how long and how many people with the hoarding and going over. It's real simple. In your code with the kennel license, the way it states, however, for zoning, it took, what, 2 years to get on the property, my next-door neighbors? If it's a dog kennel, it's visible. It's not within the so many feet off the line. If it doesn't meet the lines, it's real simple. Have the constable write the violation. The other dilemma is if the constable writes the violation, if he has to go to court a couple times, is it just going to be move it and get a permit and call it a day where the county loses money on the fees, not just charge a permit? If you want people to enforce it and understand that they need permits and whatever else for this, it should be real simple to get a permit, apply for it, and you wouldn't have this nonsense of people doing this in different developments. Now, with this coincides a little bit with the state Title IX versus the county codes. With the planning and zoning appointment today is what I'd like to do, since I can't speak later, is concerning the appointment for Councilman Cole's district, his appointment to be appointed for this appointment. I do agree with the realtor comments that have been made. Is there too many realtors on the boards already? It could appear to be a conflict. The solution is real simple to fill. One is if there's an opinion that there is too many realtors on the board, which is real simple to fix. I've been asking for District 1 to nominate next month a planning board member for their district. If a person moves out of their district, it should not be a right just to stay on the planning board. They were elected to that district by that district representative or that council at the time to represent that district. So if you elect the realtor today, which I assume comes with great qualifications with what I've read in the paper, I respect the ones who are making a nomination, and I would expect with other things it should flow in. But coming in also into the process, number one, I like to make sure that it meets all the qualifications in the planning board with the state title code, if it follows theirs, with only one planning board member in the incorporated or unincorporated, or in the incorporated section or the other thing. Make sure that we don't have three of the same political party in there. Number two, that they do sleep where it's noted where they do sleep. And basically in with that, everything works out. You have the appointments from the state code recommends that in June. I would assume that it would be Council President Vincent's term to say, look, I'd like to put a representative on my planning board. The state basically says in their thing for June to put up a nomination. It would be the perfect timing to put the nomination up and get representation in that district Everybody wins. There's no more conflict. You're keeping your realtor count at the same. If you're replacing one realtor and looking forward to bringing in another realtor, it should be an easy decision, but a vote yes for somebody who's qualified today also sets up the precedent that you may be looking to reappoint next month. It should be set up in that precedent. If you're not, if there's nothing to reappoint next month, then I would recommend a vote of denial for, or vote no for that appointment today. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. I want to know, where was the news media yesterday? Yesterday, the county council held a budget workshop. It was the best three-ring circus I have ever been to. It was worth the price of admission. I kid you not. I had more laughs than a little. Because, boy, some of the stuff that I heard, I mean, anybody would have laughed. Then I come up. I actually made a list, but I'm just going to this one particular one. Oh, now, all of a sudden, they want to hire some pistol-packing guards and have a metal detector out here. So, and by the way, if you're going to do that, then I demand, if you're going to put me through it, I want every employee has to go through there every day. When they go out that door and in that door and not come in any other door. Why? Because they're just as dangerous as any public. Because they can get in a fight, they can shoot somebody because they come in other doors. And oh, by the way, they also want to put up a sign that says you can't have a gun even if you are have a carry permit. Well, that means we're totally wide open here. And we're all vulnerable because the guy that carries that permit and carries that gun, oh, you're told that you got to put it out in your car. Well, the minute he leaves, he's vulnerable. Because the minute he opens that door, bingo, you're dead.
Ron DeManship.
Good morning. I'm here about the dogs. Over there, it's in back of my house and everything.
Same issue as the other?
Yes. Yeah, okay. And my husband, like I said, he can't get no sleep either. And like I said, our bedroom is right in back. And she says she doesn't live there, but she's a registered voter, and she's got two children, two little girls there. Now, she's living there in a one-bedroom apartment. That's not right. It's not enough room. Because I've seen it when she first built the house. It's like a studio apartment. It's got the bedroom. It's all open. From the bedroom to the living room to the kitchen, and then you go out the side door and you go around, and then you've got the kennel on the other side, and the dogs go in and out. And like I say, even during last summer, the dogs just kept right on barking. I mean, you couldn't enjoy it. It's a peaceful neighborhood. Everything was great until she brought them dogs there. And every time, you know, the dogs start barking, my husband called her, and he went over there, wasn't nobody there. So he called her on the phone, and, you know, she answered the phone and said, your dog's barking. And then she's quit answering the phone. But yet she's saying we're harassing her, and she don't even live there. She lives with her mom, and she bought two properties there. And her mom's supposed to build a house next door to her, is what understanding I got. And then she's supposed to build another house where the kennels is. But that's already residential. So we just want the dogs to stop barking. And so we enjoy the outdoors again.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Jeanette Cosgrove.
Well, good morning. Good morning. You know that several of us have attended the council meetings each week, and we have spoken either about the proposed sewer or water district. And I'd like you to see today, our large group, that it is part evidence that we have been speaking for the majority of our neighbors in Winding Creek Village. We haven't been bluffing. on the opposition to the water and the sewer districts. So we hope to hear today the recommendation we have been waiting for, and that the council will vote and agree to cancel the referendum on the water district. I would like to just add one other item. In last Friday's Cape Gazette, I read a comment by Mr. Medlars that the petitions that petitions have not been received in opposition to the sewer district. While we were not aware that we could collect petitions, it was our understanding at the public hearing that Mr. Medlars would not let Winding Creek Village opt out. We asked that question, and the sewer district would go to a referendum for all communities. If petitions were possible, we definitely would have collected them at the same time as the water petitions, and it would have been much easier. We understand the council will be making the decision on the sewer boundaries in the near future. I'd like to point out that Winding Creek Village is not in the middle of the sewer district. Undeveloped tunnel properties lie in between the sewer district and Winding Creek Village, which is at the very end of the district. Winding Creek Village should be allowed to opt out of the sewer district as we first requested back on March 1st. Thank you.
Joyce Jason.
Good morning. Joyce Jason, 419 Circle Road, Millsboro. We are requesting that you vote to allow Winding Creek Village to opt out of the proposed water district. By now, you all know that our board wrote a letter to the county in 2012, which brought us to the public meeting of February of this year for the proposed water and sewer districts. The board never polled its residents or property owners before writing to the county. The county did not include Winding Creek Village in their polling of the other communities back in 2012. We should not be penalized for the sole move of five board members. We have provided 194 affidavits reflecting over 50% of the property owners and residents. Please listen to the voices of the majority of Winding Creek Village and allow us to opt out of the proposed water district. Thank you for your time, consideration. We would also like to thank the engineering department for their patience and their time throughout this whole process.
Thank you. Lewis Byway presentation and update.
Good morning, all. My name is Barbara Vaughn, and I represent the Lewis Scenic and Historic Byway. And I hope that you've all had a chance to look at the material that has been available to you. I've had an opportunity to talk with a number of you, and I'd also like to introduce a couple of people. Jeff Green from the Delaware Greenways joins me this morning. There are three representatives from DelDOT with us. They're not going to speak, but I appreciate their being here to support us. And I'd like to acknowledge Dan Parsons, who has been a member of the Byway Committee since its inception in 2008. We've been working 8 years on this moment when we can come to you and ask for your endorsement. The city of Lewis and DelDOT have endorsed it, and what does that mean? It means that when there's a DENREC project involving any one of the portions of the Lewis Byway, representatives from the Byway can be at the table. And you probably are aware that part of the Byway, New Road from Route 1 down to Canary Creek, Savannah Road from Route 1 to about the railroad tracks, Kings Highway to where the Freeman Highway begins. They're in the county, so these are county byway areas that we would like to acknowledge and we'd like you to acknowledge. Now that DelDOT has endorsed the corridor management plan, and what you got was the executive portion. This is the complete corridor management plan, which you are very fortunate that I have not asked you to read. But in this corridor management plan, there is the ideal just design for each of these byways. And if I had a magic wand, what I would love to do would be to touch each one of these byways and have them look like the plan that's in this document. But in reality, this document and the plans that are in there for each of the byways are a starting point to begin to discuss with the people along the byways. This is the way it could look when DelDOT endorsed the byway. It meant that the byways could be at the table and that context-sensitive design would be used if there are going to be changes to any of the roads. But we could also do more by working with the folks along the byways. We do not have any right to take any property. We do have the right to have good conversations and collaboration, and that is a good thing. So I'd like to have you take a quick look at his PowerPoint, and then you can ask some questions.
Thank you very much, everybody, and thank you for inviting us back. This is a scaled-down PowerPoint. You saw the whole thing last fall. Barbara described better than I could the roads of the byway: New Road, Pilot Town, Front Street, Cape Henlope Drive, Gills Neck Road, Kings Highway, Savannah Road. About half the byway is in the city. The other half is in the county.
Need you to speak to the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. What is a byway? We talked about this one at the last time we spoke to you. It's a transportation route, but it's a special route. It has particular values. We call them intrinsic values, historic, natural, cultural. I think you all know the values that Lewis exudes, and that's what the byway is trying to highlight. This is DelDOT's definition that you're looking at, and it's a really good one. What I like best is that the byways tell the story. We've worked hard with Dan Parsons and his historic work at the county, with the Lewis Historic Society and their historic work, with DenRec and the natural areas. The city has its own wonderful program of historic preservation to tell the story. And that's what the corridor management plan does. So what is a CMP? Well, the best analogy I can come up with is that it's like your comprehensive plan. It is aspirational. It says what the county should look like. Well, as Barbara described, a corridor management plan says this is what the corridor ought to look like. There's nothing regulatory about it. It doesn't grant or detract from anybody's rights. DelDOT, when Barbara mentioned the DelDOT brings us to the table, they use it as a policy document. It's not regulatory to them at all. It's not a law or anything like that. It's just a policy. They give it to their various units, and they use it when they're working on a project that is on or could impact the byway. That's all they do. But there are benefits, too. And when DelDOT established the program, state government established it, it's designed to increase business tax revenue. In fact, there's an interesting project that some of the byways are undertaking with DelDOT's assistance called Byways Bucks, where the merchants get together and issue Byways Bucks for discounts to the travelers on the byway, increasing business. Access to state and federal funding, well, not so much federal anymore, but to state funding. Some of the projects that are in our corridor management plan, we're looking to apply for grants, state grants, grants to other entities that issue grants. And because it's a byway, we go a little further in the line. Improve maintenance. access to resources and expert assistance. We participate with the National Byway Foundation, for example. Identification on state highway maps. The Lewis Byway is already on the state highway map. And directional signing to increase tourism. DelDOT's going to be starting a project on Route 1 to increase signing for the different tourist destinations of the base, of the seashore area. And finally, assistance from state economic development and tourism offices. We already have two endorsements. DelDOT, that's the actual endorsement letter from DelDOT, approving the corridor management plan. And that makes it the policy document. And then the city of Lewis, and here's an excerpt from their minutes. They endorsed the project last October 19th. Well, we have a similar request of council. And when I typically talk with an elected body, you want to be specific with what you mean so they understand it. Whether these are the words that you consider or you have other words, it's fine, but we would love you to support the concept of the Lewis Scenic and Historic Byway and endorse the corridor management plan, which preserves and enhances the character of the roadways of the byway. The next sentence, I wanted to develop, you know, what is staff supposed to do if council approves something? And in this case, we wanted to recommend that staff uses it as a guide in their work when it impacts the byways. In other words, a policy document. That's basically what we're asking for you to do, exactly what DelDOT has done. This is the fact sheet that you have in front of you. And hopefully you've all had a chance to read it because I'm not going to go into it. But point number one is that a byways designation at the state level, as I said, confers no special regulatory powers or superimposes any additional legal authority. What Barbara was saying earlier is getting us to the table and talking to the property owners. Well, all we have at the byway level is the power of persuasion and nothing more. We are not enabled by any action that's been undertaken as part of the byway program. Number three, the policies and the regulations related to the byway. If you choose to establish any policy or regulation, it's at your sole discretion. You can choose to do that or not do that at your own discretion, just like you do for any other thing that comes before you on your agenda. DelDOT talks about context-sensitive design for the byway roadways. And that's exactly what they mean. They use the nice pavements, the nice sidewalks and traffic signals, things like that. That's within their ability, their portfolio of things that they can do. The byway doesn't change the county's regulatory framework at all, unless you choose to do so. And finally, as I said earlier, it enhances economic development and tourism. So we ask that you help us by endorsing the byway so that we have a seat at the table as you work forward with the county's projects that enhance the county, in particular the byway. Thank you very much.
And I want to make clear that the byway are all DelDOT roads. They're not county roads. They're not city roads, except for one small portion of Gills Neck Road. So we will be working, obviously, in the future with DelDOT. But we want you at the table.
Any questions of council?
Will that be an overhead bridge at Gills Neck Road?
I'm sorry to say.
Will that be an overhead bridge so we can cross that road? You're talking about Gills Neck Road.
Gills Neck Road, it comes to the... The Gills Neck Road goes from the traffic light at the bridge to the traffic light at the high school.
Yes, the road's used quite a bit, right?
Yes, yes.
There's going to be an overhead bridge so the traffic get over. Is that what you're saying?
No. We're not going to be building bridges.
No. Well, how are we going to do that?
Well,
how are we going to have people going travel so much down this byway? and they're going to have a way to get over it, get over the highway.
Basically, there are two bridges already over the canal.
They're not adding anything to this. No. Sam, this is just a designation to it's going into Lewis. I mean, Joan's not here, so I'll help
Thank
Joan.
Thank you, George.
Thank you.
Because I've talked to him a lot. It's just a scenic area of importance to the state and the county, and the state has recognized it, the city has recognized it, and they're asking us just to recognize the importance of Lewis and the entrances to Lewis, and that we they have suggestions. There's no regulatory, there's no laws, there's no nothing enforcing everything, but when they have something, maybe a change of zone in one of these areas, that it will be acknowledged that this is a scenic byway, and you know, we ought to take that into consideration in the decision making.
So change the zone doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't affect a thing.
So why should we change it?
You know, it's just something to bring to the attention of people like ourselves, that when we do our work, that we know that we're looking at an area that has been determined to be important to not only to the county, to the local people, but to the state of Delaware as well. And this is probably something that they're going to be doing elsewhere in Sussex County. I think
yes, we've got a western byway.
They've got one planned over there. And it just, there's no regulations with it. It's just so that we're aware that this stretch of road is deemed to be a scenic byway.
Are you aware of this, that they have spoken today, we're going to bring in more tourists?
Sam, this is to benefit the people who are already here.
Okay, but I didn't want the comment was made here. There are going to be any more tourists.
Well, I'll just say this, Sam. I've traveled around a little bit, and I can't remember ever looking at a travel brochure and say, "Look, they got a scenic byway. I think I'm going." But I think if I go to that area and they happen to have a scenic byway, and I'm driving down it, I can appreciate it.
Well, if I remember, I believe you voted a couple weeks ago not to pass the 110 acres because it's going to bring two. A whole lot more tourists.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I believe that's the vote you made.
Tourists stay in motels and rent for a week. And people who buy houses stay here longer.
So that means from now on you're going to be voting for more tourists. Is that correct?
Sam,
I think we're on the low track.
Sam, you're tying too many things into this one decision.
That's why you have Boyd Pitcher with this thing.
Perhaps we should have a byway to Mr. Wilson's farm.
That would be highly traveled.
It'd probably be cheaper to do it that way instead of taking up all the
Are there any more questions of council?
I do, Mr. President.
May
I just timeline? I'm just very curious. In the event the council, and I'm actually going to encourage us to defer any kind of decision because today. Only because Councilwoman Deaver's not here. This is in her district. I think it would be very fitting for her to have a voice in this vote. I don't think it would change the outcome, personally, but nonetheless. So timeline, can you share, I mean, let's just presume that we make a decision, we are supportive of what you've just shared here. What happens next?
Well, what happens next is that we involve the people that live along these byways to express their interest. Let's say I'm a business owner along one of the byways, an attractive facade or greenery along the byway often makes businesses look better. If they have an attractive gateway into Lewis that makes people want to drive in, their business is going to be enhanced in all probability. That certainly is true of people along the way. Who wouldn't like to live along a byway with beautiful landscaping? So it's just a win-win, but it's going to take time.
Sure. I mean,
this is not something that's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of work, a lot of interaction. Hopefully that we'll all benefit. Yeah.
Okay. Questions to council?
One more question.
Mr. Wilson.
Will this be a blacktop driveway, a byway? Will this be blacktop?
I don't think we get into the surface.
I think it's important. Is it blacktop or is it hard top or cement blacktop?
All the roadways are asphalt of the byway.
That's because it's not going to be perforated. the water won't go down as well once you cover up the soil. That's what they say in the past. We had so much. There's a law passed now, if you put it too big a parking lot, cause the blacktop, you can't let the water go in. So if, what you're going to do is allow not as much water to go in the ground. Is that what's going to happen here?
Well, keep in mind, Mr. Wilson, that what they're trying to do is simply name the roads that are already there. No new roads, not tearing any roads up. Not, it's just the roads are currently there in a certain portion around Lewis to name those as a scenic byway. End of story. New construction.
I'm glad you explained that, Mr. President.
Well, I knew we'd get there. Any more questions to council?
No, sir. Not today.
Thank you very much for your presentation.
So we'll be back next week.
We will get it on with Mrs. Devers back.
Yeah.
Mrs. Devers on the weather today and couldn't be here, so when she gets back, we'll.
Thank you for your time.
She had a rainy day, so she's under the weather.
Next, we have a consent agenda. We have three.